Greetings to each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's been inspiring to be here and worship with you. It's been some time since we've been here at this congregation, and it's good to be back again. For those of you who do not know me, I am married to Pastor Lukey's sister, so makes me a brother-in-law, so we have fun times together as family, and Lukey invited us up this weekend to be together. I was praying about message, and God answered that prayer. So on July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress officially adopted the Declaration of Independence, which declared the 13 American colonies independent from Great Britain. July 4th, that date has become a national holiday celebrating the birth of the nation of the United States of America. The definition of independence is being free of the control of some other person, country, or entity, and being free to govern myself is another form of independence. We talk about maybe a child that is getting older and they're becoming more independent. They're able to do more things on their own. We appreciate the gift of freedom and independence that we enjoy in the country of the United States. And for some of us who have been born here in the United States and we are U.S. citizens, for myself, I do not understand the freedom that I have here in this country. But when I hear the testimonies of Jesus and other of you, I understand that there are countries that do not have or experience the freedom that I enjoy and I was born into. And as Jesus talked to us this morning, he shared of a journey, which he didn't really say it in these words, but I believe that it was a journey of seeking freedom. Freedom. I want to remind us this morning that freedom is not attained without cost. This is true both physically and spiritually. I also want to remind us that freedom without structure leads to bondage and ruin. Think about it a little bit. Freedom without structure leads to bondage and ruin. We can see that in the country in which we live. The freedoms that people enjoy without structure, they start to become in bondage to their own freedom. I would like to think for a message this morning for a few moments, just two words that came to my mind as I thought about a message and in the current days of our life here in the United States. It's two words that came to my mind, and they are simply this: free indeed. Free indeed. You will notice those words, those of you, some of you may recognize those. They are found in John chapter 8. We're going to look at that shortly. I would like to think for a few moments about spiritual freedom. Being free spiritually. There is a very real truth, and that is that someone can be in physical imprisonment or physical troubles, but in their life and in their heart can be spiritually free. And that, my friends, is the ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom. Being spiritually free is being declared free from condemnation and living free from sin, where sin no longer governs my life. But what does that mean? Sin no longer has control over me, but I am free from condemnation. We heard that in Jesus' testimony this morning. Free. I appreciated your testimony, Jesus, of free from bitterness of your past. Free. That freedom and living in that freedom will propel you to be a worker of God with great power. What does freedom, being free indeed, really mean? I'll get into that in just a moment, but just some thoughts for us to think about. Free from sin. Closely connected is free from the penalty of sin. And then thirdly, free from the guilt and shame of sin. Now, there's a certain sense where there is remorse. We're sad about our past life. We wish we could do it over. We wish there were not, that things were not there. But being free indeed is free from the guilt of sin. Romans 8, 1 and 2, I'm not going to turn there now, but Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Two powerful phrases. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's free indeed. Indeed free. The burden in my heart this morning is just a question, and it comes to me personally, and that is, how free are you? How free am I? Free indeed means indeed free. In other words, this morning I am not, well, I'll get ahead of myself. The result of such a life is freedom from condemnation. In John, and I would like you to turn in the Bible to John chapter 8, and we're going to look at some of our thoughts here, John chapter 8. I'd like to begin, first of all, in John chapter 8. In verses 1 to 11, I'm not going to read all these verses, but this is the story of the account of the scribes and Pharisees bringing to Jesus a woman who they said was taken in adultery in the very act. And it seems like there was witnesses of this act. Doesn't say it here, but she was taken in the very act. And they come to Jesus and they tell him in verse 5 of John 8. And they remind him of what Moses says in his law, what the command was, that such a person should be stoned. And we know the story. Jesus stoops down and with his finger wrote on the ground. It would be interesting to know what he was writing. We do not know. And he lifts himself up in verse 7, and he tells these scribes and Pharisees, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And he again stoops down and writes on the ground. Verse 9 says, "And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience..." Convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Free indeed. I find it interesting how those who accused her of the sin revealed their own heart of a hypocrisy in leaving the woman alone with Jesus. The one accused stayed even when she could have fled. I believe this reveals her heart of repentance. Her heart, Jesus knows all things. She could have fled, but she stayed. Think about the words of Jesus. Think about your own life. There's a law of sin and death. There's a law of life in Christ Jesus. And as you're standing alone in a room with Jesus, and he says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." It's a reality for the Christian. Go and sin no more. To be free indeed is to be first of all in Christ Jesus. It is secondly, that is the positive, in Christ Jesus. The negative is not living a life after fleshly desires. And thirdly, living a life governed by the Holy Spirit. I love what Deuteronomy 6 and verse 23 says. It's a favorite verse of mine. And Moses is talking to the children of Israel about their journey from Egypt to Canaan, which is what we're on, a journey from Egypt, this world of trouble, to heaven, to Canaan, to a land of no crying, eternal freedom. And he tells them that the Lord brought us out that he might bring us in. Brought us out to bring us in. In other words, there's no stagnant Christian. There's no Christian just floating along. There is a bringing out, Jesus, all of us this morning, a bringing out that he could bring him in to the body of Christ and a work to be done. Free indeed. Today, men and women try many things to find freedom and peace from the longing in their heart. Talked with a man a number of years ago whose sister was dying of cancer. This man was not living a Christian life as we would know it and had many tattoos. And as we sat with him in the hospital, after visiting with his sister and heard his heart and heard him talking, he shared how in the pains of his heart and the longings of his heart, what he does is goes and gets another tattoo. I couldn't connect with it because I don't know the release of what a tattoo would give. I don't know. But to him, it was just another thing to do to help to solve the pain of the heart. Satan and his demonic forces seek to destroy man, and they want to bring us into a web of despair and death. And God and the Trinity, the Godhead that we believe, the Bible teaches, God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit are united in a work of the opposite. Their work is a work of freedom and not bondage. Testimony can be shared, I'm sure, of you. Testimony in my own life of the ways of death and sin bringing more bondage. More bondage. But I want to lift up to you this morning the power of the life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the life of sin and death. It is a sobering truth, but we must reckon with the reality. The actions and character of my life gives a window into the object of my heart's affections. It's a sober reality. My actions and how I live, it gives a window into my life of what I hold dear in my heart. Have I been made free from the law of sin and death? Have I been made free? I have just 5 points I want to share with you briefly here. in relation to being free indeed. The title of the message, Free Indeed. We talked about being free from condemnation. And that being free from condemnation is not that we were never guilty, we were condemned. But it's a gift of salvation, a gift, for by grace are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of salvation. Free indeed. Number one. Well, before we do that, before we go into there, I'd like to read in John chapter 8 and verses 31 to 36. This message title comes from John chapter 8, 31 to 36. Jesus is talking. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In other words, real discipleship. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou? Excuse me. How sayest thou? Ye shall be made free. In other words, they're saying, we're children of Abraham, and we're not in bondage to anybody. Why are you saying we should be free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the first point I want to look at, and that is this, that true freedom is found in acceptance of Jesus Christ. It's elementary thought, but elementary truth, but it is that way. Without accepting Jesus, all other avenues for finding freedom fall short from free indeed. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. John 14 and verse 6 tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We heard that before this morning. John 3:16, we know the verse, some of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Free indeed. We could read John 3:17-21. Not going to do that, but read it. This morning I cannot offer to you salvation or freedom from sin and guilt without telling you that you must believe, I must believe in the work of Jesus. The practice of good deeds is not the source of freedom, but they are evident in one who is free. In other words, to claim to be free indeed and continue on in a life of sin is falsehood. Now, we do at times fail. There are times that we fall, that we fail. But a life filled with the Holy Spirit, God brings it to our attention. And we again repent, ask God to forgive us, and we go on. But habitual sinning is not the life of the Christian. True freedom is found in acceptance of Jesus Christ. To reject Jesus Christ is to reject true freedom. Number two, Point number two. There is no bondage so strong the power of Jesus cannot break it. I encourage you with that truth. Do you believe that? That there's no bondage so strong that the power of Jesus cannot break it. When Jesus sent out his disciples to preach, the kingdom of God, he told them in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he told them that, well, I'll just read it, Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the gospel of God and to heal the sick. Think about it. Pastor Lukey's not feeling well. He's feeling better today. How does this verse really fletch out in today's world? I don't know. We prayed for Pastor Lukey, and Pastor Lukey is feeling better today. Does God give the same power today to us that we can heal the sick? Think about the question. I believe that the same power is available to us. I believe that miracles can happen today. But I do believe that in the disciples' time, Jesus empowered them with a special anointing of the Holy Spirit for special things. Today, some seek after a sign as proof of the Spirit within. Proof of the Spirit within is someone who is a Christian, who obeys the truth, sits down with the Bible with an intent to obey what it says, and lives a faithful life when no one's looking. Tremendous power. There is no bondage so strong the power of Jesus cannot break it. Take courage this morning. Do not be discouraged in your commitment to the Lord. For the one who possesses all power is the one who calls us to go forth and teach in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, he also is the one who has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The same power. Lo, I am with you always. Number three, freedom comes with a cost. We talked about this briefly earlier. Talking about being free indeed. Freedom comes with a cost. Some of you here know this much better than I do. In the physical search of freedom that you have been on. But the same is true in spiritual freedom. Freedom comes with a cost. Jesus gave his life for our salvation. God sent his only begotten Son. Is that a cost? Well, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But when I think of giving my only Son for the salvation of others, my mind spins out. The magnitude of love. God gave his only begotten Son. Galatians 2, verse 20. brings it personal to me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Freedom comes with a cost. There is a cross for the Christian to take up. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It involves surrender. It's essential to being free indeed. The rich young man in Matthew 19, verse 21, learned the object of his heart's treasure. He learned the object of his heart's treasure, and it was, he's like, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what can I do? And he's done all the good things. And then Jesus points his finger on him and says, you know, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. And he goes away sorrowful. Does that mean that all of us should sell what we have and give to the poor? Does that mean we should not have any money? We should all be like the widow who gave her two mites. I do not believe that that's what the Bible is teaching. I believe what the Bible is teaching is that if your money is worth more to you than God is, then you should probably, then you need to deal with it. Or anything else. Freedom comes with a cost. Freedom comes with a cost. Today we live in a casual Christianity. It feels that way to me. Where we don't want to, the cost is too high. Freedom comes with a cost. The devil paints a picture that the cost of freedom is not worth it. Some of you have maybe heard me give this before. Pardon me if you have. But it just comes to my mind, and I feel I need to share it again because it blessed my heart in the days years ago of searching in my heart. When I heard the account of the man who slid off a roof and he was hanging on to a branch and he was holding on to it. And he was scared. And down below, there was those that were there to rescue him. And they said, we'll rescue you. We'll catch you. And he's just hanging on. And they reminded him that you got to let go of the branch. You got to let go of the branch. Freedom comes with a cost. Oftentimes in God's dealings with us, he brings us to a point of decision where he's asking us to let go of something that we're just so secure in as we have a hold of it. But to find the release of new freedom, we must let go. Just let go. And that is where oftentimes in our humanity the devil gets a foothold and says, the cost is too high, you can't free fall. Trust God. What I heard in testimony this morning was those that were around to catch the person that was free falling. And to teach and instruct. Number four, being spiritually alert is essential in identifying webs of bondage. Being spiritually alert. In other words, we're talking about being free indeed. So we're free. We're free indeed. God has made us free. I do not believe the Bible teaches that when you're free indeed, you are free to do whatever because you've believed and that's all you need to do. I don't believe that's scriptural. I believe that even after we've been free indeed, we must be on guard and be alert and living righteous, holy lives, lest we become entangled again in the snares of bondage. A spider builds a web with the intent of satisfying his own desire. Satan builds webs around too in an attempt to catch us in it. Someone caught in the web becomes an unfortunate victim and is made rendered helpless by the silk that the spider wraps around it. And once wrapped and secure, the spider comes in for the kill, biting its prey and injecting its venom into it. I say today, brothers and sisters, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:11-18, finally, my brethren, I'm not going to read all this, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means schemes of the devil. I want to quickly give you, before I close, and get to the last point, I want to quickly give you some schemes of the devil, webs of bondage that we need to be aware of. We're talking about being free indeed. Being free and walking free. Quickly give you some webs of bondage, I'm going to call them. I do not need brotherhood accountability, which is pride. It's a web. Relationship is more important than following Bible truth. It's a web. Outward conformity is more important than sinful attitudes in the heart. Looking good on the outside, it's more important. He said, I know that I'm into sin, but I look right. Nobody knows. That is false. I'm not saying you shouldn't look right or follow nonconformity practices. It's not what I'm saying. But when we feel that's more important than the heart condition, it's a web. I can have bitterness and unforgiving spirit and still live in victory. It's a jealousy web. I can have bitterness and unforgiving spirit and I can still live in victory. Well, maybe you can for a time, but it will catch up to you. I can dabble in sin a little here and there without getting enslaved in it. I'm okay. I'm strong enough. I can take it. It's a web. Jesus came to set the captive free. The same power that cleanses the vilest, the sinner of sinners is available to keep him from falling and to present him faultless. June 17-25, that same power. Take courage this morning. If you have been into deep sinful practices of all sorts, immorality, witchcraft, I don't know what it was or what it is, then you have found Jesus and you are free indeed, that same power is available to keep you free indeed and to present you faultless. But there's a work that we must do. Number five, last point. Everlasting freedom, or freedom that is, well, just everlasting, forever, is the reward of the faithful ones. The reward of the faithful ones. I can't help but think of it this morning as I stand here preaching. Of those who have gone on before, Brother Eldon's wife. And I'm sorry, Eldon. What was her name again? Rachel. And others. But I remember coming to New York City. I remember walking the streets and Rachel with us. Some of you remember her. Some of you maybe knew her here and do not remember Rachel. And others that maybe have gone that I did not have acquaintance with. But we believe today that they are enjoying everlasting freedom. Freedom from even the possibility of sin. Sin will be gone. There will be nothing there that can defile it. There's freedom of worship and service, and that will be endless. The time in heaven is not going to be a time of pampering our own self. It's going to be a time of worship. Freedom to worship and serve. The most blissful experience that you have ever had will be nothing compared to the glory of heaven. Think of it. To be in the presence of Almighty God and our Savior Jesus Christ. As I wrote that in my notes, I wasn't sure what to say or how to define it. I just wrote, holy, holy, holy. I ask you the question, and myself the question this morning, am I free indeed? Am I really free? Free. Let us kneel to pray.